WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me today, Mike Coffey from ND Nation and Mike Brammer. We've been gone for a while, and we thought we'd come back and just kind of recap some of the highlights of the spring. It's been a busy time on the Notre Dame campus for Fighting Irish athletics. So we're going to talk for about 15 minutes about a few different topics, and we'll get it started with throwing some props out to Jeff Jackson's hockey team. I think we all enjoyed the run to the national championship title game for the Notre Dame hockey program.
Certainly outstanding. When you think about the way the season was going into the postseason, they were on a little bit of a lull. They lost a few games. They lost a couple games against Fair State, and things just weren't looking good. Then there were some people who said that they had backed into the playoffs or whatever numerical formulas used, but they made the most of the opportunity. The second season is indeed a second season, and they really made it work.
It was nice to see them get back at Michigan State, too. I mean, after watching them last year fall to them when everybody thought we should have been in the finals. And then afterwards, you know, we played really well. It was cool, too, to see the Notre Dame community. I mean, I got a bunch of emails sent to me when the Thursday night game showed up. We were in the Final Four. All of a sudden, you know, everybody starts getting excited about Notre Dame hockey, and a lot of people started trading around. We get on ESPN, and we make it to the finals.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, Brammer and I are in South Bend, and living in the community here, the games, they do a good job selling out the games. It's a small venue, right? But there's a diehard, passionate Notre Dame hockey community in South Bend in particular. They really loved the team, and I just think it was great for those loyal fans. I'm more of a casual. I mean, I'm obviously pull for any of the Notre Dame teams, but, you know, I'm not much of a hockey person. Didn't grow up watching a lot of hockey. And watching the games, they were probably the most enjoyable Notre Dame games that I've watched maybe in my life. As I sat around with my brother Ed, who's not here today, we didn't argue about strategy. We didn't second guess anybody. We didn't argue about the officials or the announcers because we don't know anything about hockey, so we just sat there and rooted. It was great. It was a very refreshing experience. We should try it for football.
Well, not only that, but the leading scorer for Notre Dame, didn't he tear his ACL right before the playoffs?
Yeah,
so he was even out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't even have him, and what a great run to get all the way to the final, beating Michigan too. I mean, that's the team that was picked to win it all by far. And we end up getting all the way to the final game, and then not on anything controversial, but there was that goal that was scored that I thought was a momentum changer that really took the air out of us. It would have been neat to see had that goal been allowed, you know, what would have happened.
Yeah, that was a key point in the game, obviously.
Well, and all of this couldn't have happened at a better time. You talked about the small arena they play in. They're desperately trying to get the new arena within an arena built for hockey, and something like this is great timing for fundraising efforts, because, you know, there's probably people now starting to say, hey, this is something that a demonstrated need for a program that really is showing that it's doing well. So I think if there was a time they were going to make a run like this, they certainly picked the right season.
Terrific. Jeff Jackson's just a fantastic coach, and, you know, we're lucky to have him run the program, and you look for continued success at this level. I mean, Final Eight last year, final, you know, runner-up this year, that's just phenomenal. And Mike Coffey, what do you have any information, or do you follow much hockey recruiting? What can you tell us about that?
You know, I don't probably as much as I should. And like you guys were talking about how the interest in the program certainly spiked. We had a lot of traffic on our hockey board. It sounds, from what I've been reading, that recruiting is going very, very well. A lot of freshmen contributed this year. They're all coming back. And it seems like Jackson's really building the foundation talent-wise to keep this momentum going and hopefully get in a few more Frozen Four appearances.
Right. Well, speaking of recruiting, there's been some positive developments with the basketball team. And, you know, I think our last show was after the disappointing NCAA tournament loss to Washington State. But since then, you know, Mike Coffey, you and I both have attended the basketball banquet, which was just a great night and really showcases the outstanding guys in this program, both the coaches and the players. It was just a great night. And now we've picked up Ben Hansborough, transfer from Mississippi State, who's going to join the Irish. He'll sit out this upcoming season, but then he's about a 6'3 shooting guard, and when McElarney departs, you know, he's a guy that looks to be able to step in as a junior with 2 years remaining of eligibility.
It's outstanding timing because, as you said, McElarney will be on his way out. You have someone like Hansborough, who has a very similar game, and is going to be coming in as an experienced player. There's a difference between trying to throw a freshman in to replace someone like McElarney and to be throwing someone in there who not only has 2 years of eligibility remaining, but has played 2 years of Division I basketball, has played in the NCAA tournament. And he's going to, not only is he going to bring a lot when he comes in, he'll bring a lot to practice this year. I mean, he's the kind of player who will be able to push McElarney and Jackson and all those guys to get better.
Yeah, that's a great point, the value at practice.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think this really says a whole heck of a lot about Bray and his program, where he's at right now, because a lot of high school seniors, when they come in, there's some unknowns with that. When you get to the transfers, that's even a little bit more higher profile, because you've got guys that are proven entities at the collegiate level. They're making a huge decision to transfer, because this is their last shot. They're not going to transfer twice. When you got a player with a name like Hansborough, there are several opportunities for him. Several doors are open, and he ends up landing at Notre Dame. I mean, that says something for Mike Bray and his program.
Yeah, of course, we're referring to Tyler Hansborough's brother, for those of you that didn't know that, the North Carolina All-American. This is his brother. And, yeah, your point about the program he's coming from, Mississippi State went to the second round of the tournament, obviously plays in one of the top conferences in the country, and this kid is going to be a veteran, experienced guy that knows how to compete against the type of athletes that you see in the Big East.
Absolutely. And the other part is, we may not be done on the transfer front. Scott Martin from Purdue is visiting Notre Dame sometime in the next week. He's finished up his finals down at Purdue and wrapping things up. And he was a freshman this year. He was part of Purdue's top five recruiting class from a year ago. 6'8 guy with a switch. He's like Colin Falls with 2 more inches of height and a little bit more quickness. If he comes in, then he'll have 3 years of eligibility after he sits out. So now you'll have Hansborough coming in with he'll be set eligibility-wise with the current freshmen, Nash, Abramitis, and Prophet. Then you'll have, if you get Martin, he will be cycled eligibility-wise with Carlton Scott. So you have effectively gotten rid of your null recruiting class by bringing transfers in, which is obviously not the optimal way to do it, but it certainly is an excellent recovery by the coaching staff to keep the flow of scholarships a little bit more steady than have to worry about one-person classes or no-person classes.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, people looked at this incoming freshman class and there's nobody coming in, and you look and say, oh, my God, what's happening? The recruiting is falling apart. But I think you got to give the coaching staff credit to say, we're not going to take the wrong guy who's not a good fit for us, and we're going to wait and get the right guy as a transfer. And suddenly now, if Martin comes in, you're looking at a pretty solid class with Scott, the red shirt, and Martin, the transfer. And, boy, does that, like you said, that balances out the flow of talent coming in. Now, the following year, we've already got 2 verbals already, mm-hmm. and you look to build on that, and it just gives you a good sense of confidence about the talent coming in over the next few years.
Yeah, Martin had some, again, you got another proven entity at the collegiate level. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have Dish this year, so I did get to see some Big Ten games on the Big Ten Network. And he had some very clutch shots. I mean, this is a kid that can hit. He can hit it when he needs to hit it, and he did. He's not timid in the least bit.
Let me ask you, Bram. Mike Coffey, you compared him to Colin Falls. I haven't seen him play. I think I saw Purdue play one time, and I honestly, the Hummel kid is who stood out in my mind. Brammer, is this kid more like a David Graves or a Colin Falls? You know, is he a swing guy or a big shooting guard? I'm not sure what he is.
No, I think he's more of a swing guy. I look at him more as a swing guy. He every now and then he went down low. He's got a really nice soft touch. He's one of those guys that when he shoots that shot from outside, it hits the very bottom of the net. It doesn't rattle in. He's got that soft, perfect arc on the ball. And, I mean, he's a ball player. He is your typical, you know, Larry Bird white kid type that really plays really well.
And we talked before about experience. You bring 2 new players into the program. You're not bringing in 2 freshmen who are trying to prove themselves to teammates and may not necessarily start really contributing in practice till January. You're bringing in 2 guys who have had 1 to 2 years of NCAA experience. They're going to be challenging the players right from the get-go. They're going to be contributing from the minute they step on campus. Very, very high return for the investment that you're making.
On the other hand, I agree with you, but I'm just going to throw this out there as plain devil's advocate. The chemistry issue, which was really one of the strengths of this team, is that, you know, at risk when you bring in older guys who are transferring in, who maybe are less able to be molded in the image of the leadership of the program. And I, you know, there's a recent transfer that I think fits that description a few years ago.
Yeah, well, I think you have a number of examples on both sides. On the one side, you have Dennis Lattimore, who just never really gelled with what the team was trying to do. According to some people, maybe a bit of a divisive influence and just didn't work out well. Now, on the other hand, you have Ryan Humphrey, who was a team contributor from the minute he got there, even though he was playing for the coach for whom he did not transfer. So
Miller's another great example.
So I think it all depends on what the player is trying to get out of the transfer. I think when you get players like Martin and Hansler, I mean, everything I've heard about Martin indicates he's a real high character kid, quality guy. He's not the kind of guy who's going to embarrass your team off the court or on it. And I don't know much about Hansborough, but I haven't read anything about him being necessarily a problem, or I haven't heard any buzz from like my fellow site operators that this is something we should be keeping an eye on. So as of right now, I'm not worried about it, but we'll, of course, have to see when they get here.
Do you website operators hang out together? Is there like an association? Do you?
Yes, we're like the Stonecutters from The Simpsons. We kind of meet in underground lairs and whatnot.
Okay. All right. Anyway, some real positive things happening around the basketball program. And, of course, springtime in South Bend is obviously football time. So let's talk a little bit about Notre Dame spring football having wrapped up in the Blue Gold game. I went to the Blue Gold game. Mike Coffey, you were there as well. It's really hard to draw any conclusions about what you see in the spring game. You know, it's more just for the fans and you know, a little celebration of the end of spring ball and all that. But the one thing that jumped out at me, Jimmy Clausen is noticeably throwing the ball better than he did. You guys know that I was a big Clausen fan last year. I thought he did a very, very good job given the conditions and the circumstances. I think we're going to see very big things from him.
Yeah, I think he's 100% now. And you hit it on the head. I mean, the Blue Gold game is not something where you go to analyze our play calling, how are we doing running the ball, all that. I mean, it's really a game that is for the coaches to put guys in situations and just, I mean, it's early. It's way early. But something like seeing how Clausen throws the ball is noticeable, and he put it on a dime on a couple of occasions. And you got to think that he's now 100% healthy, having, you know, 3 months to rest, not having five defensive linemen down his throat for every week in and out. He clearly looks like he's in charge now. It's going to be very interesting to see next year.
I agree, and I think one of those occasions was the 57-yard pass he hit near the end of the game that was an absolute thing of beauty. Not only did he hit the receiver in stride, and not only did he place the ball perfectly, it wasn't the wounded ducks that we've seen on occasion last year, and it wasn't a case of a receiver having to out-jump a defensive back for the ball. This was, it just put it right where you, and plus the ball did not have any unnecessary arc on it. He threw a laser 57 yards to the receiver. If he can do that two or three times a game, then that's the best way to keep the safeties honest and keep them out of the box.
Right, and you know, the casual fan can see that in his arm. The things that we can't really judge, I don't know that he's improved upon his ability to read defenses, his presence in the huddle, you know, things of that nature. But the quotes you read from Charlie Weiss are that he is doing great in those areas too. So that remains to be seen, of course, because the proof is on the field on Saturday. But just from what you can see from the stands, Clausen looks great. I think some of the question marks surrounding the team, again, spring football doesn't really answer those things for the fans. Maybe for the coaches, but you're going to look and say, hey, defensive line depth is still an issue. You know, linebacker play is still an issue, and that's where you hope that the incoming freshmen can make some impact. Mike Coffey, any of the freshmen coming in that you as a fan are looking for some immediate impact from?
Well, I'm definitely looking for an impact from Floyd. You get a real burner on the outside position, then that helps a player like Golden Tate, who is fast in his own right. But when you have a guy on the other side who has just as much, if not more, speed, well, you can't rotate the safeties over to Tate's side to take him away. They have to account for both sides of the field. That means that even if Tate isn't as fast as Floyd or as nimble, he now has the number two cornerback on him and not the number one. So, and he doesn't necessarily have safety help. So all it takes is one slight mistake on the defense, and you've got a big gainer for Notre Dame.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think it's easy for us to look back and say, geez, you know, our offensive line was so bad last year, we just couldn't do anything. But there's a lot of things that go to account for that. I mean, when you have two guys on the outside that can now burn it, you're going to open things up for you defensively. I mean, you put the defense on their back heels a little bit. And the more we can do stuff like that, you don't necessarily hide weaknesses, but you've got a lot more flexibility to move around and do things that really create problems for the defense. And unfortunately for us, we just haven't had that as wideouts.
Well, you guys are assuming that Golden Tate is a guy that's going to be at the top of the rotation. I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that everybody's waiting
for him to
develop into a complete football player, because he certainly looks like he has some of those athletic skills. But the battle at wide receiver is going to be one of the storylines. And will, you know, Floyd, the freshman, be able to step right in there? Will Golden Tate develop? I think Grimes is going to be, you know, your steady guy. But, hey, a guy like John Goodman, the freshman, is going to be interesting. And, you know, Robbie Parrish has shown signs. So lots
well,
of guys.
Kamara as well.
Kamara. I mean, exactly. He's a guy that I really think they're going to will be a key element in the offense this year. So the battle at wide receiver is going to be really interesting. But, Bram, you mentioned it. I mean, it's always up front. It's the guys up front. Chris Stewart, there's another thing that stood out from the spring game. This man is enormous.
He's a cube.
He is unbelievable. And I thought late in the year there were some signs that he's a guy that can run block and really move some people on the defensive line. And every time I wanted to watch him in the blue-gold game, something happened. There was a, you know, I said, I'm going to watch him this play. Yeah, there'd be a procedure penalty, or the kids would need a hot dog or something. So I didn't get really a chance to watch him, but I think he's a guy that is going to make a big impact.
You know, watching from where my seats were, I was in the south end zone. So when the plays, when the offense was going towards the north, and you would see the line up, just the sheer size on the right side with Stewart and
Young,
or just two mountainous guys. And all the running plays we saw that went right. I mean, like you said, you can't tell anything from that, but it really seems like if Young and Stewart can run block as well as they showed that Saturday, Notre Dame has a chance to have a good bread and butter running play that they can go off right tackle around the right end and really get the yards when they need them behind those two guys.
Yeah, big key, obviously. We got to have an established running game. I don't think we're ever going to be a running team under Charlie Weiss, but we have to have the ability to get positive yards on, you know, short yardage situation and just keep people honest. So that's going to be interesting. And then, again, we talked about defensively, you know, some of the question marks. In the offensive backfield, you saw Robert Hughes have a big game. Spring stats don't mean a lot, but Robert Hughes is a guy that we saw at the end of last year. He just moves the pile forward. He adds an element to our running game we haven't seen. He reminds me a little bit of like a Rodney Culver. That's what I think of when I think of Robert Hughes.
A little bigger than Rodney, but, yeah, he and that's going to be another battle that would be interesting. Just the way that we move backs in and out. I mean, Hughes, I really thought, ran well towards the end of the season. You got to believe he's only going to get better. I mean, you're talking about a young running back there. I still like
Armando Allen.
Yeah, Armando Allen. I still do, and I really think that if he can just read the holes a little bit better, he's going to be a dangerous kid. I mean, if we can get him busting it outside, I mean, look out. That's the kind of speed you want in a tailback.
And the thing I liked about Hughes is, again, you can't tell much from the spring, but he seemed to really crave the contact. I mean, he'd get hit by the first man, bounce off, get hit by the second man, bounce off. It wouldn't be to the third or fourth hit that he was going down. It wasn't a case of, like, the minute he runs into somebody at the line, he's staggering or falling over. He seemed to know when the contact was coming and really relish it and almost give as good as he was getting. Then you bring Allen in as a change of pace back. It was funny, at the end of the game, it seemed like they were running some plays for Hughes that I thought if Allen had been in there, and maybe in a typical late-game situation he would be, much in the same way that Holtz used to bring Ismail in late in the game in the backfield to take advantage of the fact that the defense had gotten the crap beaten out of them by the big backs. Well, now here comes the speed back who you're so knocked around for most of the game, you can't recover quick enough to really get that guy, and he's burning off 10, 15 yards at a crack.
Yeah, the balance and the complementary running styles will be interesting. And then let's not forget James Aldridge. I mean, I think James Aldridge is a frontline back, and he adds to the three of them collectively give us great depth, great competition of practice, and all different running styles. Mike Coffey, to talk about what you're saying, how that can wear down the defense and cause the defense some problems. So good things in the running in the back offensive backfield. And, of course, the big news recruiting-wise was the verbal commitment over the spring football or the Blue Gold weekend from Sierre Wood, the big-time prospect out of California.
Absolutely. This guy, I think Rivals has him number 3 in the class and probably the number 1 running back on the board. seen some video out there on this kid is just monstrous. I mean, it just can change direction so quickly. Seems to have very good field vision, which is what you want in your primary back. And I, from what a lot of people have been saying, Notre Dame hasn't recruited a back of this caliber in quite a while. So it'll be interesting to see how he's able to contribute when he gets on campus. He might be one of those freshmen who you start seeing right away.
Yeah, I tell you, go ahead, Brim.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, that's just more good news for Charlie Weiss. I mean, here you got a situation where you have a disaster season last year like we did, and yet early on he's getting the caliber of a five-star committing to us at the spring game.
There's going to be some people that say, last year at this point we had 12 kids or whatever the number is, a lot more verbals. This year, because of the bad season, are kids waiting to verbal? There may be some truth in that. Some of it is, with the talent we have stockpiled, maybe we can be more selective and not have to necessarily push kids to. Maybe we can wait, I guess, is my point.
And I think there are some players who are maybe have a wait. I mean, after 3-9, you can't blame them for having a wait and see attitude. That's nothing that like a 3 or 4-0 start won't fix. And it's just a question of, are these players going to hang out until mid September, mid October, wait and see how Notre Dame does, and then make their decision? Or are they going to be the kind of player that who wants to commit early, in which case we probably won't get many of those. We will, I think, get our fair share of the players who stick around to see how we do.
Last thought, then, to wrap things up. Charlie Weiss has gotten 4 great kids here in this class so far already, and really talks about the outstanding character that he's looking for as a person, as a student, as an athlete. And he said, hey, we're not going to recruit any thugs. Well, guess what? People are now taking shots at Charlie Weiss for saying that, which just blows me away. You know, that is exactly what the position people should be taking. But again, it's easy to take shots at Notre Dame for the holier-than-thou attitude. But I applaud Coach Weiss for saying, we're going to recruit good kids, and there's enough good kids who are good athletes for us to win a national championship and not compromise our standards. And if you don't set that bar high, you're not going to reach it. So good for Coach Weiss.
Yeah, well, kids that are going to graduate, kids that are going to come to Notre Dame and stick around for 4 years and graduate. I mean, there's not a lot of football programs, unfortunately, in this country that do that.
Yeah, and Sierra Wood's a kid. He's a good citizen, good kid, good student, and happens to be a 5-star running back prospect.
No, absolutely. And it's the 800-pound elephant in the room where a lot of these programs like LSU and Southern Cal are being held up as paragons of, look how well they're doing now. Meanwhile, the police blotters full of their players. They got their alums are bombing out of the NFL because of character issues. What, Ryan Perilou finally gets kicked off the team permanently by the LSU coaches today? I mean, this is the kind of thing that Notre Dame doesn't have to worry about. And I know some people may think it sounds like excuse-making, but I think it's an important distinction to make, because eventually the NCAA and college football fans are going to have to start holding their programs accountable for the kind of players they're bringing in.
Well, we're going to wrap it up there. We've been gone for a while. I have no idea when we'll come back with another show, because life's getting crazy for everybody here as we head into a slow time athletically. But when something happens, recruiting-wise or in college football, we'll come back with another Dome and Domer. Until then, for Mike Brammer and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.